Jesus' name. Let's stand, if you will. Let's just bow our heads as we open the service. Glorious Heavenly Father. Oh, God, you're so wonderful. Lord, when we rise in the morning, Lord, you on our minds. Lord, your grace and your mercy. And Father, you place the desire in our hearts, Lord, to gather around your word, wherever it is. Lord, we're thankful, Lord, you provide this little place for us here. Lord, may our hearts be open, Lord, receive whatever you have for us. Lord, we ask that you just bless us. Father, even the few songs we laid on my heart, Lord, that it would help settle our hearts and our minds and clear our thoughts, that you may impart to us, Lord, revelation of thy word. We ask all this and we thank you for it. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise his name. He's so wonderful. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to sing in our capstone books. Start on page 45. Sing with me. Reach out and touch the Lord.
Yes.
You know, he's always here waiting for us saints. Just reach out and touch him. "'Twas a dark and stormy night on the way to Galilee. The disciples were so fearful of the fury of the sea. Out upon the raging waters walked the blessed Lord of life. He calmed the troubled waters as he walked by. Reach out and touch the Lord. Out and touch him.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Praise his name. Page 63.
one day, saints.
Yes. Yeah,
oh, hallelujah. I have never seen the face of my Savior, but serving Him has been such a thrill. I have never seen the gates to that city. And I shall know Him. Hallelujah. When my life work is ended and I cross the swelling tide, when the bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, and redeemed by His side I shall stand. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, by the print of the nails in His hands. Oh, the soul-thrilling rapture when I view His blessed face and the luster of His kindly gleaming eye. How my whole heart will praise Him for the mercy, love, and grace that prepare for me a mansion in the sky. Oh, I shall know I shall know you, and redeemed by his side I shall stand. I shall know him, I shall know him, by the prints of the nails in his hand. Through the gates to that city in a robe of spotless white, he will lead me where no tears will ever fall. In the glad song of ages I shall mingle with delight, but I long to meet my Savior first of all. Oh, I shall know him, I shall know him, and redeemed by his side I shall stand. I shall know him, I shall know him, by the print of the nails in his hand. Oh, praise his name. Oh, he's wonderful to us saints. Amen. Brother Hamilton, would you come up? Of course, faith in God will move a mighty mountain. Amen. Faith in God will move a mighty mountain. Faith in God will calm the troubled sea. Something on your heart that you'd like to take before him. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Brother Josh, would you take requests this evening?
Precious Heavenly Father, we are gathered here tonight, Lord, in your precious name. Lord, knowing you know all things, Lord, about each and every one of us. And Lord, as we raise our hand, Lord, signifying a need, Lord, you know all about it. Lord, you know the very heart's desire we have, Lord, and what we have need of. Lord, maybe we don't even know what we need. Lord, you know exactly what we need, Lord. We rely on you tonight, Lord, to meet our needs according to your perfect will. Lord, more important in this life, Lord, we ask for revelation greater than anything else.
Yes.
Lord, you said you would take care of us, Lord, and you would lead and guide us the footsteps of the righteous ordained of God. We lean on that, Lord. We lean on them promises. Lord, we ask you to have your way now in the remainder of this service. Everything be done according to your perfect will. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Do you have a song tonight, Karen? Anybody else have a song? Maybe a chorus on your heart? Amen. Alrighty, let's stand then. We'll sing a little chorus. Only Bleeds. Ask our brother to come.
Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. things are possible. Only believe.
Amen. As we bow our heads, precious Lord, we just are so thankful for this precious opportunity you've given us. And Lord, as we just don't feel worthy, Lord, to be the one to open up the pages of your precious word, but Lord, I'm just a mouthpiece, Lord, that's going to renew the words that you have spoken unto us. And Father, we just humbly ask that as we renew our minds, Lord, you would send down your Holy Spirit into our hearts, Lord, that maybe something would strike our hearts a little greater, Lord. Maybe it'll strengthen us or stir us. Whatever's needed, Lord, in our lives. We come here, Lord, asking you to speak to us, for you, Lord, know what each of us have need of. And Father, we just humbly yield ourselves unto you and just ask you to grant to us our portion of your precious word this evening. Yes. Bless it to our hearts now, we ask, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Do you love him?
Amen.
Amen. While you're still standing, if you would, we'll turn back into the Numbers, the 13th chapter, and read a portion of Scripture. Amen. Just a little thought for this evening, praying it'll stir our hearts. And it's just, God's word is so powerful. You know,
as
you listen to the prophet bring things, and it's just amazing to see the Holy Spirit unravel the word and pull it to a place where you can see it. And boy, sometimes you wish he was still here to preach. Amen. Oh my, but God knows what he's doing. Amen. And by God's grace, it's our turn to be a light, to be a chance. Amen. But here in Numbers, the 13th chapter, and this is where Joshua and Caleb, and they were fixing to go over into Canaan. But we'll just pick up about the 27th verse. And they told them, said, "We came unto the land where thou sentest, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people being strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea, and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses, and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." May the Lord bless you in his word. You may be seated. What a testimony.
Yes.
And when you think of Caleb being one of the older group men in the group at that time, I think Brother Branham said he was about 80 years old, but the desire that was pulsating in his heart, and Brother Branham spoke on this many times, but Caleb was predestinated for that time and place in which he was standing. And when he saw the promise made real to him and realized that that was for him, God had given him the land. God was leading him by a pillar of fire and a cloud by day, fire by night. How it was stirred in his heart. And when they came to that place, it was like, whoa, we are more than able. Look where we've come from. Look what we've come through. And look what's laying ahead of us. That's where the promise is. We are more than able. And what a place to be and to see that it wasn't, Caleb knew it wasn't him himself that he could take this land, but he knew God had promised him that he would give him that land. And oh my, what a stirring was in his heart, what a challenge to go and to meet it head on at this place in his time. And just to kind of, I was listening to Brother Branham today in a message from way back in 1955, and he said some things on this that kind of started me thinking through the thought we'll go. But I'd like to turn over to Ephesians, the first chapter, and read where Apostle Paul started here. And just bear with me. I hope I don't jump around too much, but we'll be able to catch something from the Scripture. But, you know, Brother Branham talked about all of the men of old, how they were, you know, think about Moses. He was predestinated to be the deliverer for the children of Israel. And he knew that. And he tried in himself to take Israel out, and it didn't work out. And he got himself into trouble. And he wound up out there in the desert. But when he came down to, all part of God's plan, but when he came down to that fiery bush, and God spoke to him and revealed to him, "Moses, this is how we're going to do it."
Then once it was revealed to him, he went back to Egypt. Brother Branham said he was a one-man invasion carrying that staff. He didn't care what the obstacles was that laid before him. He was on a mission, and he knew he was able to do what God had sent him to do, not on his own, but he said, tell them that I am, has sent you. Amen. That was all it took. He went with an encouragement and an assurance in his heart. And that's just two examples. You can go back and think of all these examples that was leading up through that Old Testament, displaying what God was doing through those men and the power of the Holy Ghost and the power of the Spirit. But here we come over to Ephesians, and let's start here at the first verse of Paul speaking. And he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus. And Brother Branham, many times when he read this, he always stressed, this wasn't to nobody but the saints, to that called out, predestinated few, amen, to make sure. And only you can know if you're one of them. And so it's got our place to, if we don't know that for sure, as we're going to read some things, this is the time and the place to know. And he says, by the will of God to the saints which are at Ephesus, to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as he hath chosen us. Chosen me, he's chosen you. You've got to speak for yourself and see it. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his, to the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption, amen, through his blood, and the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Yes. And oh my, we're only going to read that portion, but Paul, having experienced what he had experienced in his life as he began to write this down, I want you to think of the determination that was burning in him. You can think of all the different obstacles Paul had already faced. Yes. And as he was setting, probably in prison at the time that he was pinning this, I would imagine, to this church. And as you think about all he had been through, And just to remember some of the quotations that he penned. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Famine, peril, sword, it doesn't matter. Nothing shall separate us. Why? Because we've been predestinated. We were beforehand prepared. A little gene of God, we were in the thoughts of God. If you can see this, you will see many things, Brother Branham said. And how, as we realize, Paul had this stirring. And he had seen what he was and what God had called him to and who Paul really was. Not just the house of flesh that people were seeing, but Paul had realized, oh, he was predestinated for a higher calling. And through that, he wrote these things. And I want you to think about it as he was writing it. He was writing these things for our admonition. In Philippians 4 and 13, just a small verse here. Philippians 4 and 13, just over a little bit, as he was put this, as he said, I can do all things. If he'd have just stopped there, that would have sounded pretty odd, but he didn't stop there. He said, I can do all things through Christ, yes, the Word, who strengthens me. Yes. Oh my, I want you to look at what God is doing for a people in this age, not what you're doing in yourself, but what he's going to do for that little bride. He saw her before there was a moon or a star. He predestinated her to be here, and nothing is happening by chance. You know, every service you gather into, every book you pick up and read, every scripture you read, every time you listen to a tape, The Holy Spirit is working for your together for your good, to bring you to that place that He saw for you to be. And then we'll just hop over here to 1 John 4:4. As John put it, just to keep these things fresh before us, very familiar scriptures, but just put them in our hearts. 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that's in all the world. God did not take an opportunity that His plan was going to fail. He did not expect us to do this in ourselves. But He said He would place within us. Now, He put us on free moral agency. We give us the right to choose. But He, by His foreknowledge, He knew the decision you would make. How great is our God to think of how this He put this plan so together that by God's grace in this place and time, there would be a people. We look back in the scriptures, and it's wonderful to see all that God did through all of these Old Testament warriors, bringing it up, and then Christ coming, God coming and entombing Himself in a flesh body to take our sins upon His and to be able to die and to shed that precious blood to cover us. Yes. The great plan of salvation and redemption, Christ revealing Himself in His own word. And you see it taking place, but it didn't stop when this Bible closed. And it didn't stop when the prophet left the scene. But it's still going on. And the words that have went forth were declaring what that little bride was going to be in this age, in this last few moments of time. There was a people predestinated to come on the scene that would fulfill that word. And that word would have the preeminence in her life. And she would continue out the work until He come and took her home. And as we think about all the word that's been left us and the great plan of God's predestination, I want you to, Brother Branham made this quotation, and Christ is the mystery of God revealed, and we've read it many times. And it's just, but I want to think about it a little bit different this evening. But as He was ministering, He said, if you say He's been revealed to me, and then the life that Christ produced here in the Bible, that same life in Him does not produce itself in you, then you've got the wrong revelation. Amen. Now, He could have just thrown us out there. But God in His loving care gives us the opportunity to gather in around that precious word every time and to have it renewed to our minds. By the renewing of your minds, you will be transformed. Yes. Faith cometh by the hearing of God's precious word. Mm-hmm. I want you to think of all these scriptures that's laying out there and how we are given an opportunity each time those doors open. We come in and listen to God's precious word. And we're sitting here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Because, yes, He's revealed Himself to us. And there's been a call go forth in our life, but He's still revealing Himself. And He knows, He said, till we are transformed by the renewing of our mind to be conformed to the very image. And by God's grace, each time we come in here, I may not have the fullness. But as I said here, and He continues to reveal Himself, then I am given the opportunity to let this word search my heart and to look back into these pages and then to begin to see myself made manifest. Christ being made manifest in me, in you. Not a work of our own, but it's a life He comes in and lives by Himself. Yeah. Amen. Listen, think about that. But I want you to think about this now as we were reading how we were predestinated. And catch a couple quotes here Brother Branham made. And this is in the Invisible Union of the Bride of Christ, about paragraph 240. And you've got to let the word be real to you. You know, if you just come in and it's just another, he's just preaching, he's just words on a page, he's just reading what the prophet said, he read a scripture. But if something in those scriptures you can identify with, maybe it's not all the way yet. Maybe you've just started walking. Maybe you're halfway down the road. Maybe you've kind of cooled off a little bit. But yet the word is still, there's just this constant pecking at your heart, a constant drawing. There's just there's something pushing you. That, you know, just think about how before you truly understood or knew the push that the Holy Spirit put in you, the conviction, the drive. Lord, what is this? Why can't I get free from this? What is this? There's something more I've got to have. It's there. And you know, and then He fills you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and it just becomes that much greater. Lord, I want more of You. There's a constant hunger, a constant thirst, and it never ends. Oh my, till we see him in glory.
Yes.
Amen. But here, just as he says, the anointed word of God being vindicated before any man that's born to be a son of God with a predestinated germ into him for this hour, he'll see God's message as sure as there's a God in heaven. Martin Luther saw it for his. Wesley saw it for his. The Pentecostal saw it for his. Now what about you, huh? They went into a denomination. Here's the word condemning it, telling you what we are to have today, just exactly, Malachi 4 and all these other promises for the hour. What do you see? What are you looking at? And here we are. The real genuine eagles here, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they'll not follow. Why? It was put in there by predestination. Brother Branham said a son of God can go a long time before he realizes he's a son of God.
Yes,
he might, the word might come and you might, in ourselves, we might be able to say, that's right. I can agree with that. I might know that this is what a son of God's going to be. I know this is what the word says. But till God dips it into our heart by revelation, by a true understanding of realizing and the work of the Holy Spirit, anchoring it in your heart, it'll just be words on a page. But oh my, and you, it might sound good, but there'll just be something. It's the only way you can explain it. There's just something. You may not fully understand it, but there's just something down on the inside of you that says, amen, I know that has to be the truth. You may not be living it. You may not fully understand it. But there's something inside of you that would never let you say that's not right. There's something down in there just churning. And it's causing a greater stir. And you might try to get away from it. You know, a lot of people run from that feeling. They try to get away from it. They don't know what it's like. What's this? But, oh, he never gives up. He's right there. And I can thank God for the times in my life when maybe I was on the verge of thinking, Lord, I ought to just give up and get away from this. This isn't for me. But there was something down on the inside. It just kept pushing. It kept driving. And it drives you to a place to where you will come to the place he has for you. You know, you remember Brother Branham. He lost his wife and his baby. And he was down in the lowest depths that he was. But yet there was just something in him that just kept holding him.
Yes.
It never let him go. And he couldn't give up. The Holy Spirit is that strong in a predestinated seed. It'll never let go and it'll never give up till all that the Father has given me, they come to me.
Amen.
Amen. By God's grace, it's a drive in our hearts. Amen. Of that little predestinated seed. The paragraph, he goes on, he says, it was put in there by predestination. You were foreordained to a son of God. You were in God before the foundation of the world. And you're only manifested in this day for his honor and glory. Yes, you know, when you truly realize that your whole life, everything, we live as human beings. We walk this earth. We have families. We have jobs, children, husbands, wives. But when you truly come to the realization you were only manifested in this day for his honor and his glory, this world will truly grow strangely dim to you. It doesn't hold its luster and its great appeal anymore. You'll use it, but you won't abuse it. And as you walk through this life, he will be your first and foremost love of all things in this life. He says, honor and glory. And how can you do it without honoring his word and stand with every word of God? Yes, sir. Which you are a part of that word by predestination. Because look at God. But look, he says, God is the word. You believe it? And the congregation says, amen. He says, he always was the word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was God. And then you were in God. And the word, the part that you were to play, was in God before the foundation of the world. He seen you, and he knew you, and he predestinated you to it. And I tell you, just as that eagle recognized that voice, so does a real born-again Christian recognize the voice of God speaking through the word. When they see it anointed and vindicated, look, he looked up there. He didn't see this old hen cluck cluck around here, join us, go over here, go this and that. See, he saw a being like he wanted to be. Amen. I want you to think about this word as it comes forth. There's something, I am seeing a being of something that I want to be. Let the story be more than just a story to you. Let it be the reality of why there's a hunger, of why you're sitting in a bench even this evening listening to God's word. You didn't come here to hear me, but you have heard a voice that called out to you. us through the Holy Spirit dealing with your hearts, knowing that this word alone can feed you and bring you to the place that you have to be under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, every word of God, he said, because, let me drop down here. And he saw a being like he wanted to be, sailing through the air, screaming free up in the highs above all the vultures and things of the earth. Hallelujah, he wanted to be that because it was in him to be that. Amen. And a man that's born of God, a son of God, has to have the nature of God. He has to be like God, and he honors God. He is part of the word of God. And in these last days of this bride taking form, just exactly the same power that he was in at the beginning has come up through these organizations and so forth and come out for a bride. And he can't be nothing else but that. There's a drive. There's something placed in you that you is bigger than you are. Amen. When God saw us before there was a moon or a star, you look at the men that God predestinated for different jobs down through time. They might have ducked away just for a moment. May have looked like they were trying. God used them in many ways, different situations and circumstances. But at the end, they were predestinated to bring honor and glory to his name, and their life did exactly that. Amen. You won't find one place where it didn't come out just that way. Here in the message identification, he says, he's going to speak about Christ here for just a moment, but I want to catch this as he put it, because as we sit here today, and we, as each and every time we come in and we're listening to this word, and you know, sometimes as it's coming forth, and as our pastor mentioned Sunday, sometimes it's not always the jumping, joyous things that you may want to hear, but we're here for a purpose, and we're looking, and it's truly got to be, as he's going to say here, we're looking for something. We're looking for that full assurance of faith that Paul spoke about. We don't want to just, you know, it's, we don't want to just go on someone's pat on the shoulder. Someone said, hey, this is the way it's going to be. But we're looking for a reality. We're looking for something that's greater than we are ourselves that will take us and pull us through. And when we look at back and we can see all that took place, and he begins to speak here, he says, now this, he's speaking of Christ, he said, this reflected his loving, noble character. God reflected in a man called Christ. He was the only one that could do this. There was no other character in heaven could do it. See, it was God. He was the sinless nature. He was the Word, sinless nature of God. He was the Word expressed, which was the Word at the beginning. And if you are in the Lamb's Book of Life, you was God's expression from his thought. He's seen you. He's seen your desire. Before there was an Adam or anything else, you are his thought made word, expressed in what you are now. That is God in you, reflecting Christ today. You know what I mean. Now, I hope this don't interfere with nothing you see. I wouldn't want to say nothing contrary to what you've been taught. But just so that you would understand what I'm trying to get here, a reflection. You have got to be identified. And oh my, God's word may, as it's coming forth, that is truly the only reflection. You know, our pastor has mentioned it to us many, many times. The scripture, Paul said, we don't compare with those that measure themselves by themselves, but we measure ourselves with the word. As Paul, I'm paraphrasing a little bit the way Paul put it. But I want you to think about that. As we come in here and we're taking this word, we're looking in a mirror. We're looking at the reflection of Jesus Christ made manifest. And we're looking at the life that he lived. And we're looking at what the prophet said, that bride would be just like him and is conformed to his image. And as we stand here and look at ourselves and we hear this precious word, it's bringing us to that place. You know, he says, it's a reflection. You've got to be identified. And if you are, you were in God's thinking at the beginning. See, was his reflection here on earth. You will bear record of the heavenly as he bore record of the heavenly also. And when he raised up from the grave and was given a body, we, when we raise up, will have a body like his own glorious body. But I want you to think of that reflection, that identification. That identification has to come. And if you never walk past a mirror, if you never take the time to stop, You don't know what your reflection is. You don't know what you're truly looking at. And oh, somebody can tell you you're all this, that, and the other. But if you never truly stop and look for yourself, you'll never know what that reflection is. And by God's grace, we're given a blessed opportunity every time to come underneath the anointing of the Holy Spirit and come in around His Word. And the precious mirror of God is folded out. And we're able to look and to measure up ourselves and say, oh, am I being identified in God's precious Word? Is it truly starting to show forth? You know, or I can come in and just turn my head. Like, I'm not going to look in that mirror. I don't want to see what I look like. I don't know. That's not for me. That's for somebody else. But God knows what we have need of, and He's provided the way. And oh my, if we will just come with the right attitude and humility and say, Lord, I know there's a truth here. I know there's a greater revelation for me. There's a greater understanding. There's a higher place in you for me to reach. It don't matter how long you've been going to church, how long you serve the Lord. There's still a higher place in Him to reach. There's still a higher rung. There's more of God to be had while we're here. And that thirst and that drive is in every heart of every believer. And they don't pick themselves up here and think, I've got all of God. They sure need God. But there's a drive and a cry in their heart as they come through that. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, O Lord, standing here needing a greater revelation, a greater understanding, a greater confirmation, Lord, and an assurance of faith that I am exactly what You said I would be in this hour. And He's bringing us to that place by just telling us, patting us on the... No, God's precious Word is showing. It's laying out the pattern. And by God's grace, we're given the opportunity to see our lives be laid right in that pattern and shine forth to His glory and to His honor. But oh, if you don't never come around the mirror, if you never get in that true reflection, you'll never know where you're standing. And God's Word is always fresh, you know. It's not dead word we're feeding on. It's not, the books are not stale and gone away. What God's prophet spoke, God wanted you to have the same as what He gave Paul in this Bible to speak. And it will not contradict itself. It runs in continuity, and it will hold together from end to end in all phases. Amen. You know, it's you see that predestinated seed taking a hold in our life, and you see it taking place. You know, it's so true that as you come around God's precious Word, if that predestinated seed's in there, you know, under sanctification, you can clean up a whole lot of your life. Under sanctification, you can come a long, long way of following God's precious Word. And oh my, as you think about this quote, as He was speaking here, but He's talking, Brother Branham is saying here, once you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but even under sanctification, as God's Word's coming forth, that conviction's there, you'll get your life cleaned up. Brother Branham went through a lot of those things, but this quote right here just stands out so much as you think about it. It says in paragraph 71, we read it all the time, and who is this Melchizedek? But he said, but look, when this body receives the Spirit of God, the immortal life inside of you, it'll throw that body in subjection to God. Hallelujah. Amen. He that's born of God does not commit sin. He cannot sin. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There you are, you see. You don't have to say, oh, if I could just quit drinking, if I could just get in Christ and it's all gone, see, because your body is subject to the Spirit. Yeah. It's no more subject to the things of the world. They are dead and they are dead. Your sins are buried in baptism. And you are a new creation in Christ, your body becoming subject to the Spirit to try to live a right kind of life. And he says, like you women claiming you got the Holy Ghost, go out here wearing shorts and things, how could you do it? How could the Spirit of God in you ever let you do such a thing as that? It just can't be so. Certainly it can't be. He's not a filthy spirit. He's a Holy Spirit. But then when you become subject to that Spirit, it throws your whole being subject to that Spirit. And that Spirit is nothing in the world but this seed word made manifest or quickened, hallelujah, and made alive. And when the Bible said, don't do this, that body quickly turns to it. There's no question. Oh, my. And if you could just but see the true, how many times God's Word comes forth, but people want to make an excuse why they don't have to do it that way. They don't have to conform to that Scripture. They don't have to conform to this portion of the word. Somewhere their opinion was altered that that's the way it is, but God's word always holds true.
Yes.
And he says, thus the body quickly turns to it, there's no question. And he says, what is it? It's the earnest of the resurrection. This body will be raised again because it's already started. It was once subject to sin, mire, and corruption, but now it's got the earnest and it's turned heavenly. And that's the earnest that you're going in a rapture. It's the earnest. And in the day and time in which we're living, that's the assurance we're looking for.
Amen.
We want to know without a doubt, he could come tomorrow, but my life could end tonight. Yeah. But I want to know that as I walk out those doors, that my life is in a place to where I know by God's grace, he's holding me in the palm of his hand.
Yes.
Amen. And it's the overcoming that he is doing through our hearts and through our lives.
Yes.
He didn't say you wouldn't make a mistake. All many times I've fumbled and I failed. But he's been right there with a drive to push us on, to pick us up and say, son, it can't be that way. It's got to be this right here. And by God's grace gives us the humility to accept and to move on with him in all things.
Yes.
He put it this way in Perfect Faith, paragraph 37. We'll just catch, I'll just read this, I'll start up top. He says, faith being a substance, in there we find out in Hebrews what faith was and what those who did who had faith. There's many times that people have faith today and tomorrow they haven't got it. The next day there's something else. But when God once anchors it and you see it, there's nothing ever going to make you move from it. You're just poking, reaching, presuming, and presuming is to venture without authority. You're just trying this and you're trying this and going this way, run here, run there, and you haven't got the faith yet. But that is what we call faith. And he says, but I want you to get this now. We, the church, has got to lift itself in the power of God. We are too close to the end now. And I believe the church is in a condition where we can teach it a little deeper things. And I want you to think about, as I'm going to read this next quote, the sun at harvest time, we realize the heat is there. It's constantly bearing down. You know, sometimes it's just pressing on me. But there's an earnest, there's a time. It's the presence of the time. God's great timepiece is ticking away. And you know, it's the same as if you were in the airport or getting ready to get on a train and they call out the last call for whatever bus, train, airplane you're getting ready to get on. And maybe you're a long way off, but there's a press. I've got to get over there. You hear them ring and there's people in the way. There's stuff all happening around you, but your focus is getting to that gate to get on board. And that's where we should be right now. That's this word. That last call is going forth. It's ringing out. It's shining forth. There's a time and a place. God is putting on the pressure. This is the time to shine up, get in line, because it's almost over. And you say, well, you've been saying that for a long time. Yes, and Noah said it was going to rain for a long time, but the day the rain came, they weren't ready for it because they didn't listen. But the rain is coming. That great day is upon us, and today is the day for us to shine up. And to make sure that my life is hid in the pages of this word with an authority, not of, I think I know, but as he goes on here to say, he says, we're too close to the end now. I believe the church is in a condition where we can teach it a little deeper things and rub some of this make-believe out. And that's exactly what God's word is doing. The make-belief is now being made manifest. We're seeing it in abundance. It's being rubbed out, but there's a little gene, a bride of Jesus Christ down in the midst of all of that, where we can teach it a little deeper things, rub some of this make-believe out, and see it get into something real.
Yeah.
And it's got to be something that you know.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. At that day, you will know that I am in the Father. The Father's in me, and I in you. Oh, we're coming down to that place, saints. Each one of us has got to be standing in that position. Each one of us is given an opportunity. Don't pass it over, but run with all that's in us and cry out to God for a greater revelation, a greater understanding,
yes,
to bring each one of us to that place, to where we would stand perfectly in the will of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And do only those things that's pleasing unto him.
Amen.
You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. God's only provided place of worship, paragraph 285. He says, now church, we're teaching now. But remember, when you leave here and start moving out of the shop now, you're going into the grain. But lay in the presence of the Son, the S-O-N. And don't add what I've said. Don't take away what I've said. Amen. Do you see the importance of how that's been a Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Don't add to what's been said. Don't take away from it. But shine up to God's word just the way it was presented. Then you lay yourselves, lay right in his presence. Just make love to him. Oh, Lord Jesus, Son of God, I love you. Tender my heart, Lord. And oh, how we could all use a little more tender hearted towards the word and the Holy Spirit. Take away all the filth and the love of the world. And let me live holy in this present world before you. But oh my, as we see the time we're given right now. We're laying in the presence of that Son. It's being shown forth. It's ripening. The seed is coming to full maturity. There's no more guesswork. This is the time. You're either in or you're out. Brother Branham said there's no such thing as a black-white bird. You know, you're starting to see the proof is coming on. And just as our pastor mentioned Sunday, if he put the life of Beethoven or the life of Donald Trump as he used, think about the reality of God's word being made manifest in me. Yes, you know, it's not, I don't live my life by a code of rules. You know, some people, it's like he mentioned about the law. You know, some people think they have to live by a code of rules. But once God truly anchors the love of him in your heart, there's no more a code of rules. Amen. It's a desire to be pleasing unto him. Yes. It's a desire that I don't have to do this because I do it because I love him. Amen. I do it because he showed himself to me and he made it manifest that this is his desire. And that I was here for his glory and to his honor. And in whatever aspect, whether I'm a housewife, whether I'm a husband, whether I'm a father, whatever my role is that I am at in this place and time, my life is for his glory and to his honor. And my desire is unto him that my life would be found pleasing in his precious word. And as I look in that mirror and I see that great reflection, I can be identified with this precious word. Because in the message identification, Brother Branham also said, you will be identified somewhere. You either be identified in Christ or you'll be identified out of Christ. And by God's grace, our desire, the reason we're here tonight is because we don't want to be found identified out of Christ. But we want to be found identified in this precious word. And by God's grace, he predestinated a chosen few. That desire he placed in there that brought him in the door. He provided the word that would be spoke. He provides the Holy Spirit to be the teacher. And by God's grace, he puts it all together and places it right in our hearts. And oh my, he's drawing us to him. He planted it. Amen. He watered it. Yes. And he will give the increase to it. Amen. And by God's grace, each and every one of us will but be a flower in his garden that will shine forth to his glory. Amen. Amen. Pray you can take something from God's word this evening. Oh, but may we press, saints. This is the time. This is the place. Each one. Don't compare your life with someone beside you. Don't compare it with somebody you knew or somebody you think's up here. But look into God's word and line up with that. Amen. For it truly will hold you through the test of time. Amen. And bring us to the place that he wants us to be. Hallelujah. Let's all stand if you would. Amen. Glory to his name. Can we just sing that little chorus down, glory to his name? Amen. Amen. Oh, down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to him. Was the blood of life. Glory.
isn't it? Amen. I enjoyed that a lot. That was beautiful. Amen. I was thinking, I couldn't help but to think, you know, about the shaking, you know, to get off that, get that shuck off of you, and, you know, to haul off of that seed. You know, as we're riding on the combine up there, Brother Paul's this week, and seeing those soybeans going into that combine, and the process that goes through that combine, that shaking and tearing off the hull, and then the beautiful seeds laying back there, and it's been cleaned off. And I thought, oh my, that's what's going on in our hearts right now, is a real shaking, cleaning off, getting ready. What, the combine's coming. Hallelujah. How we ought to be ripe and ready, friends. All the greenness taken away, and that's what the Word's doing now. As the prophet spoke about it, we're getting all the greenness out of us now, getting ripe. It's harvest time. Oh, I thank God for the move that's in the heart of the true elect. I appreciate what God is doing. It might seem like things are hard and things are too rough, but friends, that sun, when it burns down in that harvest time, it's not easy. No, sir. You just go out there in a day. You may be cool in the morning, but there's just something about when you get out there in that midday and that harvest sun hits, it just feels like it's penetrating right into your skin. And it's just, that's what's going on. It's harvest time. The sun's shining hot. The rocks is going to cry out. Oh, it's not what I want. It's too much. You know, I can't take that. Yeah, but oh my, that old seed, that's what I've been waiting on. Hallelujah. Get rid of all that greenness out of it. So may that be the desire of our heart. Let us bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, again, we're so thankful for the Word tonight. And I trust, Lord, that every one of us has taken the Word tonight and examined ourselves and checked ourselves. And, Father, measure ourselves up by it. And Father, it's a time of identification. We must see this life, the very literal life of Jesus Christ coming forth from these tabernacles of flesh. And that's what will give us the assurance, Lord, that we're going in. Lord, we can hear all kinds of things and all kinds of messages, and all the Word goes together and gels together. But Father, that will give us a greater assurance than we've ever experienced before to see you living through these tabernacles of flesh. And we appreciate that, Lord. Just move us completely out of the way, Lord, and let that sun continue to beat down on us and get rid of all the greenness as we was talking about. Lord Jesus, let that happen as we realize we're living in that time where there's so many millions of people walking in a religious fantasy. Lord, without a reality, without the Holy Spirit living in them. But yes, a religious fantasy they have. But oh God, you're looking for reality, or people that will know where they stand. And that's what we're looking for in our lives. Thank you again for this opportunity. Help us, Lord, to mold to it and be conformed to it. Bless us now as we part from here. Keep us safe on the highways. And, Lord, again, we ask, just bring us back the next appointed time if you should tarry. And if it be your will, Lord, let us sit under the Word of God. And, Lord, let it transform our minds with renewing of the Word of God in our minds, Lord. We pray thy will be done. Guide us by thy sweet Holy Spirit. We ask in the lovely